Tell you right now, Professor, that was just adding insult to injury, you might say.
But what did he say?
Well, I didn't talk to Eb direct, but the constable said that Eb sent word that his wife had baked him some apple turnovers and fried him up a mess of spring chicken that sure was toothsome.
Mr. Winterbottom, you don't mean to tell me... Yeah. Why, I can't believe it.
Yep, that's just what he did.
But see here... You haven't said anything about this before.
Well, thank never do I have to tell everyone in Corn Center all about Eb Peters' upstandings and down settings in the fellowship?
No, of course not. But it seems to me that you might have said something about an event as important as that.
Well, I don't see as Eb getting a mess of apple turnovers is so doggone as important to the rest of Corn Center.
But I'm not referring to that.
Well, then what in Sam Hill are you referring to?
About his marriage.
Well... Look here, you don't mean to tell me Eb Peters has gotten married?
Certainly.
Oh, well, who in tarnation told you that?
You did.
When?
Just now.
Oh, I didn't do no such a dad-burning thing.
You said that the constable said that Eb Peters sent word that his wife had baked some apple turnovers, didn't you?
Yes, that's what I said.
Now, let us analyze the sentence. We may safely disregard what the constable said. That is purely superfluous.
It
has no bearing on the main part of the sentence.
Well, shucks, you can't disregard what the constable said and have anything left.
Now, please don't interrupt. The important thing is the independent clause, Eb, sent word his wife had made some apple turnovers.
I can't see the turnovers any more important than fried chicken is.
Very well. We'll include that, too. The point is, Eb sent word. Remember that.
Yes.
Now, what word did Eb send?
Well, Dad Burnt, I just told you.
Quite so. That his wife had baked him some apple turnovers.
And fried him up a mess of spring chicken.
And fried him up a mess of spring chicken.
Yes.
Now
what?
Now, Eb is the subject. Mm-hmm. Said is the predicate, and wife is the object. Mm-hmm. His is a possessive, modifying wife, and by all the rules of syntax, refers directly to the subject. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Eb's wife.
You don't tell me.
But I do tell you.
Well, I don't know.
Didn't I make myself clear?
Well, I can call a part of it all right. But I'm dead burned if I can make sense out the rest of it.
Well, what is it you don't understand?
Oh, I can understand how Eb Peters might get into a predicament and his wife would object if he had a wife. But I...
No, I didn't say that at all.
But concerned, if I can see why he'd want anyone to refer directly to the subject, I think he'd want to keep it quiet.
Hopeless. You're hopeless. Is Eb married or is he still single?
He is.
He is what?
He is not.
Then I must congratulate him. What else did he have to say?
Oh, Eb sent word to send him up a shirt right away. I wonder if I could get you to put it on the bus for me.
Well, of course, I shall be glad to. I suppose the shirt he has been wearing needs laundering.
Oh, I don't know about that. The constable said Eb's been going around in his nightshirt.
Oh, the idea. Yes. They didn't take his clothes away from him, did they?
I reckon they did.
Squidgeville will repent of that. It's a deliberate insult to Corn Center.
How do you figure that out?
They are deliberately humiliating one of Corn Center's most illustrious citizens.
Oh, shucks, I don't think Squidgeville's got anything to do with it.
But then, who has?
Near as I can figure out, it's Hector Smith.
Oh, but see here. What has Hector Smith to do with Mr. Peters not having a shirt?
Well, they're in the same cell, understand?
I still don't see.
You don't say there ain't nothing Eb Peters likes better than a good trade.
You mean that Hector Smith has actually traded Eb out of his shirt?
Hector ain't nobody's fool.
I don't understand. What would Hector give him for a used shirt?
Well, like as not, he didn't give him nothing but some conversation.
Oh, I see. That's too fantastic for words.
Well, now we got to take the shirt out of stock. But Dad burn me, I'm going to put it on Eb's ticket. You can just bet that. It's Eb's trade. I ain't going to let the firm stand the law.
Perhaps you'd better get it ready, and I'll take it over to the bus station. We haven't much time.
Yes, all right. Here, how's this blue and orange checkered one here?
Oh, I say, I don't think he'd like that.
Dad Burns, I don't like it neither. And that's why I'm sending it to him. He ain't got no business losing his shirt in the first place. I'm going to tell him when he gets back. Yeah, one shirt to Eb Peters at Squidgeville, $2.50.
$2.50. Look here. The price tag says only $1.85.
Yes, I know it. But that's for local trade. We always aim to get a little more from out-of-town folks.
Well, I suppose you have your own method of doing business. But getting back to the additional clothing.
Oh, shucks, Professor. A fellow in jail don't need no finery.
But you say he'd be coming home soon.
Well, yes, the constable says so.
People of Corn Center will turn out en masse to greet him.
Shucks, what'd they do that for?
Because he's a hero.
You don't see how you figure it.
How many people are there in this world, do you suppose, who would be willing to suffer the disgrace of prison because of a friend?
Ain't got no idea. How many do you think?
Not more than two.
Well, I declare. Who might they be?
Ed Peters and Mahatma Gandhi.
What? Now, just hold on a minute. Let me get this straight.
Yes, very well.
You think this jail business kind of puts Ebb in a clash with this feller, Mahatma Gandhi? Is that like?
Right.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess Ebb might be welcome home in his nightshirt.
Let's stop all this nonsense. I was merely suggesting that he should be well-dressed when he returns to Corn Center.
No, sir, Dad, burn me. If anyone has new clothes around here, it's going to be Zeb Winterbottom.
Upon my word, there's the bus.
Yes. Here's your bundle. Now, hurry and you can make it.
Use these stops a little while at the depot.
Yes,
sir. Goodness. Where was Professor Thistlethwaite going in such a hurry?
Why, good morning, Miss Dale. That's a nice morning, ain't it?
Lovely.
Yes.
What was the matter with Professor Thistlethwaite?
There wasn't nothing the matter with him. He's just trying to catch the bus. He's going to send some stuff to Ebb up at Squidville.
How is poor Mr. Peters?
Oh, he's getting along all right. It's me I'm worried about.
Oh, you poor dear. You've been through a lot, haven't you?
Yes, sir. Now, Dad Nabbit, you want to dress Ebb Peters up spick and span, and me with only one pair of pants to set on.
But you did have more than that. I remember your Sunday suit quite distinctly.
Yes, you ought to. You rode up with it, you might say. Yes. But you see, Ebb sold it to finance that racehorse deal.
Oh, I see. Yes. Well, you most certainly are entitled to a new suit, then.
Yes, I think so, too. And by cracky, it ain't going to be none too sedate, neither, now.
Of course not. You should have something gay, something to bring out your youth.
Well, I guess if I got the right kind of clothes hung on my figure, I'd look about as spry as some of these here young smart alecks, now.
Of course you would. Why, you're almost a young man yet.
Got young ideas, anyway. I'm going to get me a double-breasted vest and two rows of buttons down the front.
And a winter tie. You should have a Charlie Boy tie, by all means.
That's one of them flowing bow ties like these poets wear, ain't it?
Yes, I think they make a man look so intellectual.
Yes. Oh, but shucks, I ain't being polite. And I ain't asked you what I could sell you.
Oh, that's quite all right. I really came in for another purpose.
Oh, shucks, I thought you wanted to buy something.
I do. That is, Miss Winterbottom, do you remember that day at the Squidgeville race when I let out all those bees?
Don't guess I'll forget that for a while. Cost us a pretty penny.
Oh, it was impetuous of me, I know, and I'm terribly sorry. I understand you and Mr. Peters reimbursed the owners for the bees which were lost.
I don't quite follow you.
I mean, you bought the bees.
Yep, every last darn hive.
Would you sell them to me?
What's that? Hey, you say you want to buy them bees?
Yes.
Well, but shucks. I guess they're scattered before winds,
but
now.
But I want to buy them anyway. That is, my attorney said, he said it would be a friendly thing to do. Couldn't I replace them?
Well, you might. But it'd be darn tough living in a hive.
Oh.